I took your love for granted and I left you behind. And I just didn't understand you or what kept me alive. You forgave me and you gave me hope. So you're the only one who really knows. I've got all these demons hiding underneath. Nobody can see them, nobody but me. And you're the reason, the only thing that keeps me from diving off the deep end. Because I've got all these demons, demons.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Boris, my other half.
Yeah, and that is me. Hello.
Our show is available live on your radio, also on our app called The Cure, which you can download from any smartphone, or our website, amyspurpose.com. We're also broadcasting from Miami via satellite, and later our show will become a podcast. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have experts in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and give valuable information. Knowing that education is necessary, awareness is vital, and comfort is needed. I believe we all suffer or have suffered from something, and we hope to be a source of healing for each other. My healing came from God, but other forms of healings are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know that there's someone who cares. That song was Demons by Alec Benjamin. And from the excerpt that I picked, this is my take. I have dealt with demons in my life and had to turn to God. But when the chaos died, we sometimes forget about God. That's when I left myself open to the enemy, and there were times I should have died. There must have been a good reason why God kept me alive. God loves us unconditionally and will always forgive us. Even when we're at our lowest, dealing with demons, he's our only hope. We are honored today to have Kristen Sunata Walker with us today. Kristen Walker is the CEO of Mental Health News Radio Network. The network has over 60 unique podcasts that cover everything from narcissistic personality disorder to addiction to first responder mental health to service animals and mental health in general. The original show, Mental Health News Radio, is hosted by Kristen and has been on the air for 7 years. Kristen, thank you for being with us and welcome to The Cure.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Kristen, let's talk about our youth today because they're our future, and that's going to be pretty much the biggest investment. A lot of our youth are under a lot of pressure as they grow from, you know, going to school and going to the college and their social life and so on. And the pressures that in life in general, this can be very overwhelming. So what do you think are some of the, you know, prevalent challenges that we can be made aware of?
Yeah, I mean, our youth has something that you and I didn't have to deal with, and that's social media.
Yeah. So,
that right there is a huge amount of pressure. It's a pressure on us as well, but imagine being, you know, a teenager today and, you know, every mistake or odd moment that every teenager has, that every human being has, being captured on someone's, you know, camera on their phone. So that right there, you know, is the beginnings of a pressure cooker that they have to deal with that we just did not have to.
Right. I even see it in my daughter. What is it called? The house party. She's witnessed bullying in house party. They do. They have to deal with a lot of things. And I think what's so dangerous about social media is that, like you said, it's a pressure cooker. And I know that at least cyberbullying can lead to suicide, which happens to be increasing in our youth.
Absolutely. It's increased beyond any generation we've seen. And, you know, there, what it teaches us, what society teaches us with celebritizing, which is, you know, also magnified by social media, is that, you know, the cure for everything is on the outside of you rather than coming from within. And that's, you know, part of the problem is that contrast and compare, living up to expectations that aren't even real on social media. And they're hitting kids at ages of development where they don't have the ability, because their brains aren't finished developing. They don't have the ability to discern that something is real and something isn't real, because their brains aren't ready for that yet. That's supposed to come later in development. So they're actually getting stunted, you know, in their personality growth because of, you know, all of this technology. It does wonders for us, but it's also made it, you know, very difficult for teenagers to battle today.
And when you say that they get stunted in their growth, could you expand on that?
Well, we see a lot more narcissism on the rise, especially in Western society, and that's, you know, and that's indicative of looking for things outside of yourself to fill a void within. And so, you know, what is the most narcissistic time in someone's life? It's usually when they're a teenager. And if you're stunted in development at that age, when it's your most narcissistic, that's a problem for everyone else, including you, as you get older.
I guess that's what happens to some of us who continue acting like a teenager as adults.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a huge problem. And it's not just a problem for the person who's behaving this way, it's a problem for everyone around them, because we all know what it's like to deal with someone who's completely self-absorbed, selfish. I mean, you know, imagine a teenager, you know, someone that has the wherewithal of a teenager in a 30-year-old body, a 40-year-old body, a 50-year-old body. Imagine the horror.
But it happens. Obviously, it happens. But what can we do? You say that society imposes on the youth a certain ideal, and they see this in social media and so forth. Not much we can do about the environment, and we can't be on them 24/7 wondering what they're watching on their social media. What kind of things can we do as responsible people to try to help the situation?
Well, we can get off of social media ourselves. And I'm not one of those people that's going to say it's all bad, just, you know, get away from it. I mean, we use social media to promote all of our podcasters on this network. So it's not a, you know, throw it all away. It's just, you know, you can't parent your kids to meditate, to get out and be in nature, to get off of devices if you're not doing that yourself. So the first thing you can do is to be an example.
Excellent.
And do activities that require all of you to not be online.
Or maybe keep them busy. Put them in acting, jiu-jitsu. That's what I did with my kids.
Get them off of screen.
Yes, and or maybe a sport. Because jiu-jitsu is very confidence building also. What do you get from being on social media? Maybe a little more, there's nothing good comes out of it. Let's just put it that way. I think
there's a lot of, there's so much that it's done in terms of helping find missing children, making you aware of what's going on in the world. I mean, there are things that it has done that has elevated us as a society. However, it's so addictive, and it's designed to be addictive. It's designed to go after one chemical in your brain, which is dopamine, And, you know, we have many brain chemicals that are wonderful. Serotonin, you know, we have so many brain chemicals that are wonderful for you. Norepinephrine, all of those things. And but social media is just getting that dopamine hit. Too much of some of one thing is not good. So other activities that help balance that out, and then using, showing them how to use these things in a responsible way. But, you know, it's not just social media. You know that. It's online gaming. It's television. It's Netflix. It's, you know, it's a lot of different things. So I think really what we have to do is, like you said, get your kids out and get them into activities where they literally cannot be on, you know, anything to do with the internet. So swimming, jiu-jitsu, you know, out in the woods, whatever it is, riding a horse. It's real difficult to snap social media pics when you're riding a horse.
Exactly. Or maybe play a video game, a board game with the family. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We will continue talking about our teenagers, so please stay with us. Please call if you have any questions about your teenager. Would love to hear from you. Please call us, 866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Don't let it arrest you. This fear of falling again. And if you need a refuge, I will be right here until the end. Oh, it's time to burn the ships, cut the ties, send a flare into the night. Say a prayer, turn the tide, dry your tears and wave goodbye. Step into a new day. We can rise up from the dust and walk away. We can dance upon the heartache, yeah. So light a match, leave the past, burn the ships, and don't look back.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi again to The Cure. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabo. And for those who have just joined us, we're talking to Kristen Walker about helping our youth.
We are live on your radio, and you can check our app, The Cure, with Amy Cabo. Later, the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure on any podcast app, please, and subscribe.
That was Burn the Ships by King and Country. A small portion, my pick, my choice, my take. And anybody can have their own take, by the way. Don't hold back believing you fall again. It happens. Just try and try again until you get it right. If it gets heavy, find comfort in knowing that God loves you and He will be there till the end. Let go of the past, move forward, looking bright, full of hope. For God hears our prayers, even in the silence of our tears, which He dries and soon turns into joy. Pray daily as you welcome each new day. We can rise up, walk away, dance despite the rain. Just don't look back. We are talking to Kristen Walker, who's helping us discuss the issues facing our youth today.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the enormous pressure that our teens and youth have in life right now. And I don't know to what extent we can probably help them somehow. What do you think, Christine?
Well, I think, you know, we can help them, but we've got to step back from a lot of what's happened in, you know, earlier generations, where there's this big divide between, you know, us and the younger generation. I know there's a term going on right now called OK Boomer, which is from teenagers, you know, saying to baby boomers, you just don't get it. Yeah. And I think, you know, a way to help is to, you know, try to understand where they're coming from and to understand that they do have a completely different experience more than any other generation has before because of, you know, what they have access to now, which is worldwide information. So if we can bridge that understanding, then I think we can, you know, find ways that we can help all of us.
Right, but also probably we shouldn't have a lot of pressure on them as far as pushing them to do things. Like, maybe there is some people that are not suitable for college or don't have interest in college or to have a certain degree that just will not have any use for them later. Maybe we can seriously consider talking with our kids about don't necessarily follow the specific rule and whatever the society tells you, oh, you need to go to college. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much choice today, more than ever before. So the old rules about, you know, you're going to retire at 65 and, you know, you go to the same college as your parents or that you even go to college. I mean, you know, there are certificate programs. I did go to college and I come from a family of, you know, Harvard, Dartmouth, you know, grads. So, and I built this entire network. So, yeah, we need to give them the space. There's so much choice that if we're going to try to, you know, use old paradigms in order to tell them how they can be successful, it's just not going to work because, you know, they are smarter than us. They came out of the womb with technology.
But there is something true in that they kind of get the cumulative intelligence of the previous generations, right?
Cell memory. But a lot of things have changed. I mean, we don't raise our children the way that we were raised in our generation. I mean, I'm 45, and when I had my daughter in 18 and we grew together, poor thing, I was a lot different with her. I've learned my lesson with the two younger ones. And I think it's about letting them know that you're willing to listen to them and making them feel that you understand them and then just gently teaching them because they don't like us teaching them. They want to learn from their friends or from social media but the best way to gently teach them is like you said, Kristen, be that example of what you want them to be or how you want them to look at things or behave. Because even though they're teenagers and they may seem like they don't care, they're still watching and they're learning.
Yeah, they are. And guess what? They're not just watching your actions in front of them. They're watching your actions on social media.
No, it's funny because my son watches his sister's action on social media. So
right.
I believe
they
you.
Yeah, they really don't have privacy. Like, we could have privacy. There are things from when I was a teenager that I can't even imagine if, you know, there was a camera around and live streaming. It would have been horrifying. So I think, too, you know, relating to what they're going through because we are also in the storm of online. So we have a lot more that we can relate to them about. Hey, this is a struggle. I struggle with it too. What a great bridge to build with your kids. And the overload of information that's out there, that doesn't just affect them, it affects us too. So there's yet another way we could relate to the pressure that they're under because we're under it too.
Oh, yeah. Well, my son is helping me a lot with certain things from the internet.
Well, you hope that your kid would come to you with something disturbing that they saw on social media or something like that. But some kids are very reserved. They don't really speak much or they don't talk much. So if they're looking into our media, can't we do the same vice versa?
Well, I think you have to. To be a responsible parent, you need to know what it is they're looking at, you know, online. You just have to do that. I can't imagine not knowing what your kids are doing online. There's so many ways that you can set up those kind of controls, not to control them, but to know what it is that you're going to have to be dealing with. And I think, too, you know, they may not seem like they're listening to what you say, but they do. And so many kids, it doesn't occur to a teenager often to tell when something difficult is going on. It doesn't occur to tell a parent. It's not that they don't want to all the time. It's that it just
doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah, if you're talking about things, issues, because you have that family time, they'll hear what you're saying about something else, and that may spark that, oh, I should bring this up with my parents. Or they may just blurt it out and not really mean to, just because they hear you talking about things. So I think the silence that we keep, you know, from our kids needs to stop, because that isn't going to help them. They need those examples so that they know they can speak up.
That is so important that you say that, because I had no idea how important communication was, and I found out. And I take any opportunity that we're together, whether we're at dinner or anything like that, to speak. I even heard of somebody who goes around collecting cell phones. They're not allowed to have their cell phones in the dinner table. It's very hard to get your kid to talk to you if you're not talking to your kid.
Yep, it goes both ways.
It really does.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, there are things that...
And but, you know, there are other things that are very challenging. And we'll get to that as soon as we get back. Amy, this is Amy Cabo. You're listening to The Cure, live every Saturday at 1 p.m.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
I heard you call my name. I felt you lift my shame. And I made a vow that day that I'd spend the rest of my life loving my Jesus, showing my scars, telling my story of how mercy could reach you where you are. And I pray the whole world hears the cry of my heart is to see all the ones I love loving my Jesus.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Come back to The Cure, and thanks for tuning in. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Cure, on the app The Cure, or our website, amyspurpose.com. That was Loving My Jesus by Casting Crowns. My choice, my take, here it is. The truth set me free. When I wrote my life story, when I became honest about myself, but there is nothing more freeing than God's truth. For I am a broken man, just loving my Jesus. Showing my scars, sharing my story of God's mercy, no matter where you are. And I pray that all will come to love our Jesus and do the same. We're talking to Kristen Walker, who's helping us with the issues that our youth today. Kristen, I wanted to ask you, because there's a lot of pressures with social media, and there's also the pressure of alcohol and smoking and drugs. Even more specifically, a lot of our youth are vaping. Is there something that can be done on our part to try to reduce the incidence?
Well, awareness, communication.
They kind of don't let you know. They do it behind your back.
Well, that's if I was a teenager today, I would have been vaping. I mean, I smoked when I was a teenager.
Oh, that's true. Unless you're vaping.
Yeah, I mean, I know I would have been. So I don't smoke now. So some of it is kind of a rite of passage for teenagers, but knowing when, okay, this has gone beyond a rite of passage and now this has become an addiction. I mean, that means that you have to be paying attention as a parent. You really have to be plugged in to what your kids are doing. And I think you can't have this, you know, extremely controlling environment where they are excited to do something that they know they could get in trouble for, because every teenager, you know, going to look for that. So if you, if you've got such a strict, you know, unforgiving environment, they're going to find something, and the chances of becoming addicted to that something are extremely high.
Okay, so you're right. It's a rite of passage. We all go through it. It becomes a problem when it interferes with our life, when it changes who we are, when it makes us depressed. All of a sudden, the kid's not showing up to classes, or not doing, or not, his room is all messy and dark, and you know, you see it in other ways. I think that's when it's important to get involved.
But, absolutely. I mean, they're not exactly fun to be around, a lot of teenagers, but you know, that's your job as a parent, is to be around them. I mean, I was really glad that our house was the house that our son's friends all wanted to come to, and we were not a party house by any means. In fact, his friends threw a party when we were out of town, and my son was out of town, and he was so angry that he called the police on his friends. But we were that house that everyone could come hang out, and I got to hear, not because I was allowed in the room, but I could hear through the door, what are they talking about, and see what's going on. I was able to pick up on a lot of things because I was paying attention.
Well, I got lucky this time around. My first teenager was more challenging, and so far, 14, I'm doing good, and I have a 12-year-old, so soon it'll be like double, but I think so far so good.
Right.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
I also wanted to talk a little, expand a little bit on the vaping situation, especially now that there is this problem with a lot of people getting very seriously ill and even dying.
Didn't they disprove that?
Well,
they said it was off-market stuff.
Still, but they're vaping off-market stuff. So maybe we can discuss that so people just don't buy things off the streets that can be very dangerous.
They are not old enough, I think, to buy it themselves.
Okay, then they shouldn't vape, right?
Well, then you think it's like saying they shouldn't drink, but they do.
I can imagine telling a teenager, don't do something. Guess what? That is the green
exactly. Light to go do. That is so funny. It's true. It is true.
You know. I would try to educate them about it, and you know, try to show them, hey, this is what it's going to do to you. It may not do anything, but they do think about that stuff. I mean, I do remember watching television programs or something that was going on at school that was very serious about, you know, sexual abuse or bullying or what have you. And I may have acted like I wasn't paying attention, but that stuff did sink in, and it did help me make better decisions as a teenager. So all of this awareness and so on about vaping, that's a good thing. They need to hear what it's going to do to them, because, you know, more than not, they may stop doing it, and they may stop doing it at a younger age because they've been educated about what it does, even if they act like they don't care.
Right.
Nice.
Again, back to communication. Very important.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's, and I can't reiterate enough how, you know, how not fun it is to communicate with a teenager.
Yeah.
Well, I think also, I mean, they're going to be exposed to the social media and the environment and the drugs and whatever it is they need for the rite of passage to grow. It's inevitable. I think most importantly, we need to make them feel loved. I think that's what's most important, to spend time with them. Like the other day, Boris took our son shooting. You know, that's spending quality time, teaching him how to do it right. He's 14. And so bicycle riding with your kid, things like that. You wouldn't think it would be a big deal, but it means a lot.
Yeah, they do care. I mean, we used to take our son to the movies all the time, and, you know, he's 30 now, but I remember him at 17. We saw a movie called Little Miss Sunshine, and a teenager in that movie ended up getting pregnant, and my son said, well, I know I wouldn't have to worry about that with you guys. Like, he wouldn't get in trouble because you'd help me you know, you'd help me. And, you know, I at first I went, oh, no, I don't want him to think that this is okay. We need to have another talk about sex, you know, all of those things. But then I realized I'm glad he knows that he has our love and support no matter what.
Yeah, that's super important.
That is an excellent point you made, because our 12-year-old daughter is counseling a little bit older girls, maybe like 15 or so, and they're talking about pregnant and wanting to get pregnant, and I'm pregnant today, and no, I'm not pregnant tomorrow. And so I know my daughter said to me, she said, oh, Mom, you would not be very happy if I was pregnant. You would not like that. And I really didn't know what was the right thing to say. But, you know, the right thing to say is that I'll love you no matter what, whatever happens. I'd rather you do things the right way, but I'll love you no matter what. God forbid it goes the wrong way.
Exactly. It's a lot of sitting with them. I used to watch, I mean, I grew up in around Hollywood, so I was around a lot of movie people and things like that, and my son was very into horror movies, and, you know, I did let him watch them, but he was around that, and I could explain, you remember that was the makeup, remember that was the dye
that's
the
paint
to make that look like blood, and, you know, I mean, yeah. So he, it, I took the, he still had fun watching it, but I took a lot of the sting out of it and, you know, made it an experience that we could have together that he still talks about today.
So, yeah, don't be afraid. You can be a parent, but at the same time, you can be your child's friend, which I grew up believing you cannot be your child's friend. That's a mistake. I don't know.
Well, listen, if they don't know how to be friends with you as a teenager, even a little bit, they're not going to see you as a person when they get older. They're just going to always see you as a parent and kind of discount what you say. So they have to see you, you know, at their level sometimes, so that when they're an adult, they can go, yeah, my parent is a person.
And not only that, just the same way us as parents, we want to be respected. We should respect them too. And we should acknowledge them. And that's how you gain a friendship, I think. You know, just being, just showing them that you appreciate them, that kind of stuff. When we're back, we'll continue talking with Kristen Walker about ways to help our youth. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
Call us at 1-866-34-TRUTH to hear your teenager story. We'd love to hear from you. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our heart, hear our spirit sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. Words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo and this is The Cure. We're live every Saturday. And you can download the app, The Cure, for any smartphone. We're also on the radio, on social media. Just look for Amy's Purpose.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure with Amy Cabo. Amy spelled with an I and a double E, just in case you didn't get it already. And it's going to be available on any podcast channel.
That portion of the song, that was my choice, my take, It's called Listen to Our Hearts by Casting Crowns. There is no greater love than the love God has for us, even if we don't have the words. He listens to our hearts, and He is so great that He provides whatever we need, even when we don't ask for it. So, if He listens to our hearts, I hope He hears our spirits sing a song of love and praise for those He has redeemed. So let us tell you of our love, God, as you listen to our hearts. We're talking with Kristen Walker about understanding and helping our youth. Kristen, I wanted to talk to you about the stigma and the awareness, if you can compare the level of awareness and stigma that surrounds now the mental health of a teenager as opposed to when you were a teenager.
Good question. I mean, I was a teenager in the 80s, which now is, hey, let's play 80s music, that old-time music. I can tell you, you know, I started talking about, as an example, sexual abuse that was happening to me when I was 12, 13, 14, and that was a no-no. You did not talk about that publicly. So right along with that was mental health. Those two words were not spoken together as a teenager. And even up to 4 years ago, I would be out somewhere and someone would ask, well, you know, what do you do? And I'd say, well, I have a podcast about mental health. And people would kind of, you know, look at me in shock and sort of turn away. And now I can go to those same places like the grocery store or the local diner or the nail salon, wherever, and I can talk about what I do. And people go, oh, yeah, I have anxiety. Yeah, I've got some PTSD, or yeah, I've had this trauma. The level that people are able to talk about it today is amazing. And that's because of your work. That's because of the work I do. It's because of, you know, the work of many, many people that we can talk about it at this, you know, at the level that we can today. And that's so great for our youth, because that's, you know, what they're struggling with. It's a struggle as a teenager, your mental well-being. You know, you couldn't talk about things like that. I hadn't even heard of mental health as a teenager. So I just did a talk in front of 1,000 students, high school students, talking about social media addiction not too long ago for the first mental health conference for the entire state of Michigan. That would have never happened a few years ago.
Okay, and then nice. I wanted to mention the importance of suicide and the prevention of suicide, and to explain to everybody that there is a lot of help out there that everybody can go, and again, due to more communication, as you say, Christine and Amy, people should be able to talk to each other more so we can prevent that.
Well, the way I see it, even if my daughter or my son won't talk to me, if I know there's a teacher that they feel comfortable with, a school counselor, guidance counselor, sometimes it's best that they talk to somebody at least. Just encourage them to communicate. Let them know that it's safe to communicate, that nobody's going to get angry at them, that in fact they're going to think they're courageous and strong, you know. And so just to kind of change the mind frame of probably when we were teenagers, Kristen, that it was a big taboo. It was not to be spoken of. And I hope that one day we can speak about it, like if it was a car accident, being abused. Oh, yes, I survived being abused. Just like, oh, yes,